introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he puts
look at this!
Jamal Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And we got a fun show for you today. Back here once again, got my man JR. Still no Miles. Got the Sexy Prince back from the Deadpool premiere. And yeah, we got some fun stuff to talk about today. So we're just going to jump right into it. QB1, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Watching this Rockets-Warriors game. It's a tightly heated battle right now. Warriors came out the gate slow. Rockets, they're starting to get a little lackadaisical, so it'll be interesting to see how this game ends up.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm going to need to speed through this pod so I can get back out to the TV and get caught up on the second half here. Sexy Prince, first of all, how was Deadpool?
I mean, it was I told a few people this on the timeline. Like, I don't know. I like Deadpool. In the comics, he has a very certain cadence and specific kind of humor he brings. And I know that in order for that to come alive on screen, they have to morph it just a little bit just so that it plays off really well. And I think the way that they've morphed it is just sticking with slapstick humor. And for me, slapstick is fine. It's just that when it's done so often, it just kind of feels like it feels insulting. Like it's like I'm not smart enough to, you know, get some more of like the sophisticated humor that they had in the film. And I think the way in which the humor is done, it becomes so off. It happens so often where it's just like the audience feels like they're just like waiting for him to say something funny because you know that's what's going to happen. So I really liked the first movie. It felt like a cut of a certain cookie, but then instead of this being like, because it was kind of like a new genre that they were introducing with Deadpool, but instead of this being a new angle or avenue, it just felt like a bigger cut of that same cookie rather than it being just like a better cookie. So no, I still recommend people to go and see it. I think it's very gory. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens that, you know, might make you squeamish. But I guess all in all, it was a fine movie.
Okay. All right. JR, is Deadpool, is that too far down the list of the comic book stuff? Are you going to be making it to that one? Or is it only like special occasions like Black Panther that you don't want
to? He went out to Black Panther quick.
I mean, he had to. He had no choice.
Shockingly, he did it for the culture.
Shockingly, Deadpool is actually one of my favorite Marvel movies that I have seen. I love the first one. I thought it was it's a bit graphic, but I thought it was very action-packed. The plot was really good and the storyline flowed very nicely. So I'll probably be watching the second one here soon whenever I get a chance.
See, that shows what we know. What that said, how far have you made it through season one of Game of Thrones yet?
I am actually 2 episodes away from season 3.
Ooh, my man.
Please do it.
Yeah,
man.
You really meant it when you were like, I'm going to get through it before the season. My man.
We working over here, man.
I mean, you can get back to live tweeting, though.
Yeah.
That's actually really enjoyable to have JR's live tweet because it feels like we're reliving with it all over again. But then we know what happens, and then you get that reminder of, oh, man, he just don't even know. He just
Like,
who's your favorite character so far?
Well, they're all going to die. You know, that's what my buddy told me because he read the books. He's like, just anyone that you love on the show is going to die. And so that's just kind of what I took into it from the beginning. He's like, if you like the character, they're going to die. So just go in with that, and you won't get hurt too bad.
Yeah, R.I.P. to my man Ned Stark, man. That was rough. That was rough, man. I thought he was gonna get out of the beheading.
The minute that
happened, as us as fans were just like, "Oh, this is a different kind of TV show." Like, they beheaded the main character in the first season,
The one that was in all the trailers. You're like, okay, Well, all right, let's do it. We've been talking about it a little bit here, talking about this playoffs, this basketball, and, you know, figure we would order this show in a way to maximize the angry messages we get tomorrow. So let's start off talking about it a little bit. You know, JR, you said we got the game going on here. Rockets out to a little bit of a lead. Golden State starting off a little lackadaisical. Yesterday, speaking of lackadaisical, your man's LeBron James was looking a little tired there towards the end of the game. So, you know, as we move along here into these playoffs, you know, the game seemed to actually be getting a little entertaining. Are you changing your predictions at all? And I guess, what are your thoughts based on where we are right now in these playoffs?
Well, I mean, one of them's wrong already because I said the Cavs in six. Nope. But I still got faith in my man LeBron. I think they're going to win the next two, despite the role players not showing up on the road. I fully expect them to win game six. And we all know LeBron doesn't lose in game sevens. He rarely loses game sevens. I believe he's won five straight game sevens. And I believe if they're able to win game six, I think he's going to will them and find a way to get it to game seven. Now, on the switching over to the Western Conference, this Golden State and Rockets series, we're in the middle of game five right now. The Rockets are up 29-20. The second quarter just started. So this series is very interesting. I still expect Golden State to win in six. I think they're going to win this game tonight, and I think they're going to close it out in Golden State.
Okay, Saxy Prince, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on these playoffs? I feel like we really haven't been able to dig deep into your thoughts on what's going on in these basketball playoffs. Yeah, what are your thoughts on the series? Who do you think's playing in the finals?
I'm still holding out hope that it is going to be a Cavs, Cavs and Golden State finals. It's I don't know. I think the Cavs are in a position right now where they're clearly not the better team of, you know, but between them and Boston. But obviously LeBron James, he's so great where it just feels wrong to root against him. So I'm really holding out hope that, you know, after dropping that last game, you know, LeBron will be able to bring it back. But I mean, LeBron, he's doing it all by himself, and you just get to a point where he's just like, I'm just tired of being the one to carry this team. So it's like, it almost feels like he's asking himself, even if I get past Boston now, I still have to go face the aliens that are the Golden State Warriors. Do I want to carry a team for another, you know, 4 to 7 games after this? So I don't know. It's going to be hard. I still think that the Golden State is going to come out the victory. I think they have too many weapons. Curry hasn't really been what we know him to be, but like that hasn't even mattered, which is the issue. Curry has not had to go off at any point so far in the playoffs, and the Golden State is still, for the most part, kind of dominating. Now, I think Houston Rockets are a great matchup for them. I wouldn't be surprised if this does go to Game 7. It has been highly entertaining, but I still want to see Cavs and Warriors in the finals.
Okay.
I don't.
I mean, I could kind of, honestly, I think that I feel like Boston would be.
Boston's going to get slaughtered.
I mean, the Cavs are going to get slaughtered too. I mean, that the Cavs team is not good.
They're not.
Like, they just have LeBron.
LeBron will at least try to make things interesting. I just don't want to see Boston and Golden State, but it very well might happen.
The Western Conference Finals is the NBA Finals.
I don't know. I feel like LeBron might be able to take these Rockets though.
I don't see it. Firepower offensively.
Yeah, you're right.
Golden State has too much firepower too.
Yeah,
y'all right. All right.
Sean Livingston is starting to turn it on, y'all. When Sean Livingston is starting to make the highlight reel, you know something's wrong.
Sean Livingston yoking on people.
All right.
Well, now we're going to make the most awkward transition segue in the history of this podcast, because, you know, we're having some fun. We're talking the NBA. talking about this league, you know, that we're loving the game, loving the quality of what's going on, loving everything about it, you know. Actually a commissioner that, you know, fans seem to love and all that stuff, which brings us to kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. It's a game that we love. A commissioner, maybe not so much. Owners, quite a bit less progressive than you'd say the average owners are in the NBA. And the NFL, yeah, I guess they had a ruling that you might say could be construed as controversial, where they, I guess what many will say is they adopted the rules that, to a degree, that already existed in the NBA, which the NBA, in their rules, in their CBA, say, during the anthem, you're standing up, you're not doing anything, there's no protest, there's none of that stuff going on. You stand, you're respectful, the music plays, it ends, you get finished the warm-ups, you shake hands, you get it going. So that obviously it touched off a bit of a firestorm. The players weren't really consulted in all of this. And from my perspective, I can say that I am probably sick of talking about the national anthem as it pertains to all of this, because the way this whole issue, the way this whole discussion has been co-opted to make it about something that it never was in the first place. Like when they first, when Steve Wyche, I think it was, first noticed that Colin Kaepernick was kneeling and went and talked to him about it, Colin Kaepernick was very clear in what it was that he was protesting, which was not anything to do with the military, not anything to do with the flag. It was about social injustice. It was about police brutality. He since donated quite a bit of money to those specific causes, not anything to do with anti-military or peacetime movements or anything like that. The decision for him to kneel was one that was suggested to him by a Green Beret, decorated soldier, Nate Boyer, suggested that that's the way you should go about it because it was respectful. And so, like, really talking about the anthem at this point has just become tiresome, because none of this has anything to do with the anthem whatsoever. If we're really being real about it, it's about social injustice, which I get people don't like to think about, they don't like to talk about. But if we're not going to talk about them, I don't know. Should we even be talking about this? And I guess with all of that said, because I did kind of ramble there for a little while, I guess, what do y'all think? And Yinka, I'll let you start off on this one. What do you think is going to come of this? Because, you know, the last time kind of Trump and the owners tried to bully the players, kind of the entire league responded in a show of solidarity for a short period of time. And then it went back to a couple of, I guess we'll say, the more quote unquote woke teams. And, you know, shockingly, even though all this stuff is supposed to be a really big distraction, the wokest of the woke teams won the Super Bowl last year. So that's very strange. I'm not sure how that works. But yeah, Sexy Prince, I guess, what are your thoughts on all of it beyond the disappointment? And what do you think is going to kind of come of this by the time we make it to the season?
I mean, I think it's kind of goes along with what you said, is like we're no longer talking about the issue of why people kneeled in the first place, you know. And if you don't know at this point why Colin Kaepernick first started to kneel, then you've either tried to remain ignorant of what's happening, or, you know, you haven't been, I guess, haven't been paying attention to the, what's going on, which is, I guess, synonymous with what I just said. But I don't know. It's I guess what I'm saying is, you know, there's kind of multiple levels to this. I know it's a nuanced conversation. I know that it is, you know, a thing that's obviously very emotionally charged for a lot of people and stuff, as it should be. But I think that we keep, it's like the, you know, we keep, there recently there's like a video of like these two, like lynx cats that were just like yelling at each other. They weren't really doing anything, but they just keep screaming at each other. And we're losing the inability to actually listen to a nuance, not even just like conversation, but also nuance within conversations. One of the arguments that has been said, why the reason why the NFL is doing this, is obviously because of, you know, ratings. Ratings are down and stuff. Which I think is a little bit intellectually dishonest, because if you look around television across the board, all television is down. Jason, I think you had said something that was like really funny, but actually pretty true last season, was if everyone is protesting on both sides for the NFL, how do, because of this, how do we know who's won? And the problem is that, you know, when you look at the numbers of people that are getting affected, it's because of, oh, well, I'm protesting because they're protesting, or I'm not watching because they're protesting the flag. But then there's this other side of it that's just like, well, I'm also protesting because of the fact that what they're protesting is an issue, like racial inequality, you know, police brutality, multifacets of that. So then obviously once you extrapolate it to, you know, what's going on, you know, people are just watching TV in general less across the board. But I think some stats came out this week that said, you know, Sunday Night Football actually has been doing significantly better than it has done in the past. The NFL necessarily could have grown more, but I mean, it actually has grown over the last several years because of all the, you know, ad revenue is going up quite a bit. You know, the NFL is just getting bigger and it's getting more, it's pulling more and more people into it. I don't agree with the ruling, not because I think it's a First Amendment type thing, just because I think we kind of know that First Amendment rights are typically, especially in a private company, they're kind of skirted around quite a bit. Like, companies have learned how to, you know, work their way around the First Amendment. So, I mean, it's not necessarily a First Amendment violation, if you will, or at least any different than any other private company has done. It's just mostly we have lost the ability to talk about the issue, and it's become frustrating, like you said, and I think it's just pointless at all to keep having these anthem protest conversations unless we want to actually talk about the issue, why they started in the first place.
Well said. Well said. And, you know, more often than not, when these things gonna happen, I know, JR, you tend to stay away from the fray when it's all going down. I guess, what are your thoughts on all this? I guess, do you have anything to add? Or,
yeah, y'all know I'm not really big into politics, and it just seems like sports and politics seem to be mixed so much nowadays, and rightfully so, especially with this whole NFL anthem rule coming down. And I think the whole basis of everything has kind of got lost in the initial message of what Kaepernick, when he started this whole kneeling ordeal, and what he was trying to protest is police brutality along with a lot of other things. But the other side is arguing that it's just disrespectful to the flag. So the big reason I steer clear of politics, because it's a never-ending circle. Nobody's listening to each other's side, and there's never going to be common ground formed. Now, I did throw a little bit out there as far as a tweet saying the NBA was so far ahead of the NFL when it comes to circumstances like this, and I know that they have in their CBA that they do have to stand for the anthem, but it's in their CBA, and they went through that with the players' union, and that's something that the NFL failed to do. So that's the biggest problem I had with this. It just kind of felt like, or not felt like, they did exile the players and the players' union from this total decision. I'm talking about the owners, instead of, you know, talking to them about this issue or talking through their issues with this whole situation. So that's the biggest problem that I had with it.
Yeah, with that, JR, actually, you kind of raised a really good point, because the NFL actually did come out and they said, you know, this is the kind of the compromise that we're coming with, as far as, you know, what the league and the players decided. But the problem is like, in order for a compromise to actually take, like actually happen, two sides need to present their side of things and your side of things, and you meet in the middle. The owners and the ownership and Goodell, they just made the decision, which, I mean, again, it's perfectly within their right, but it's, again, I think it's a little bit dishonest to say it's some sort of a compromise, because there's no middle ground as far as this. Nothing has changed, and the players still were not consulted. At least the player leadership that exists were never consulted as far as this decision. And it was a decision. I mean, the NFL could have just not done anything. You know, they could have just not said anything at all, but they made it a point to make it a rule. They made it a point to say, we're going to start fining and not suspending, but fining and penalizing. And so they wanted to put forth they wanted to put forth what this was on their side of things. But here's the caveat. They left a little bit of ambiguity within what they said too, right? It's kind of like, you know, what they said is like anything that's deemed to be not respectful to the flag, which leaves a lot of interpretation. You know, if a guy covers his eyes, or, you know, he spits on the ground or whatever the case is, does that become a fine? Does that become some kind of 15-yard penalty? Like, how are you going to enforce that? So, I mean, we're definitely going to see how quickly this thing is going to become either a problem or not so much that, you know, in those first couple of weeks.
Yeah, man. And, I don't really know. I feel like above and beyond, like, the owners, it seemed that they were trying to placate, you know, Trump and his base and all of that other stuff. And it feels like they played themselves, because the first opportunity that, you know, Trump had to speak on it, he kind of twisted the knife deeper on him, talking about, you know, if anyone stays in the locker room, which was part of the compromise, they, you know, shouldn't be able to play, or they should be fired, and these people should leave the country and all that kind of stuff. It's just as crazy, which is, you know, antithetical to what the flag and the freedoms and all those things are actually supposed to stand for. Like, forced patriotism stops being patriotism. If you make everyone do it, you start to creep towards all the stuff that, you know, we're not supposed to be in the West. So yeah, anywho, we could probably have an entire podcast on this, but no one wants to hear that, and our DMs would be filled with angry messages tomorrow. So let's move this along and try to bring those folks right back in and talk about a little bit of hockey. You guys want to talk about some hockey? Let's talk some hockey. You know, the Las Vegas Golden Knights are in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, Prince. I will give you $10 if, without looking anything up on the internet, you can name me two players on that team.
John Johnson and what's a popular white name? Brad Stevens.
I award you no points.
Okay.
Well, 0 points.
I did what I could.
You tried. It's the Capitals versus the Las Vegas Knights. And of course, the episode where we want to talk about hockey is the episode where Miles can't be here, because, you know, he is our conduit to the world of hockey.
He has the half-wife side in him, doesn't he?
Yeah. So we're not going to talk about the actual game, because none of us know anything about it. So sorry about that. But we're going to talk about this concept. We got the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They are an expansion team, and in their first season, they are playing in the championship series. So my question to you is, if there was an expansion draft in the NFL now, what is the quickest the team could be playing in the Super Bowl, JR? I feel like the team, you know, from right around where you're from, probably came pretty close. I guess, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
I think it would take a couple years, because chemistry is the hardest thing to form in football as opposed to hockey. And I think hockey has like 25 or so players or something like that. I'm not sure the exact number that they have on a certain team's roster, but it's obviously much less than a football team. And so just forming that continuity and having cohesion at certain positions would definitely be the biggest downfall for everything. And we don't know what quarterback that team would get in the expansion draft as well. So they probably would be left with scraps. I don't want to name specific names, because I don't know exactly how the NHL rules apply and how that would work in the NFL. Come on,
man. You know they're getting Sam Bradford.
Either that or Joe Flacco or somebody like that. Somebody like that. So they definitely wouldn't get an upper echelon type of quarterback. So I think it would take a couple of years.
I'm here for the Taylor Heineke led. What's the team? The Iowa.
Seattle Sea Lions.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's the next follow-up question. Is Prince, where would you put an expansion team?
I don't know. Maybe I would go with Iowa, you know, just get another Midwest team in there, whatnot, some neutral or whatever the case is. It would take a long time. I think the closer to, like, towards the center would be harder for the team to know, really generate interest and revenue and all that stuff. So you probably would need to shoot it out on one of the coast, or, you know, Florida or another team or whatever the case is. But I would choose Iowa.
How about you, JR?
I put one in OKC. I think that's a pretty good sports town, and I love how they support the Thunder. And I think that they would really support a football team as well.
Okay. I mean, you're both wrong. The right answer is Toronto. Toronto should have the team. It's a very large media market. Bring in all of the North.
But I feel like that's in Canada. That's well,
it is.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I feel like that's in...
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Yeah. You're bringing so, it I mean, in. Yeah, you're putting it in.
Oh, we're bringing Canada to.
Yeah, you're bringing us in. We're in.
That's gonna be hella awkward with this whole Buffalo protest stuff.
Yeah. Buffalo already plays games up here in the preseason. It's okay.
Okay. Well, if they start kneeling, are they gonna be protesting the flag or? Never mind. Go
it's
ahead.
Very confusing. I mean, there are already Canadians playing in the league right now. It's very confusing for those people. I'm not sure what they're supposed to do. But we'll move it along. I don't know why we're back talking about the anthem. We're trying to bring people back with hockey talk. And we failed at that, too. So we'll keep things moving along and talk about the next hot button issue that popped up on the timeline this week. And again, it is a shame. It is truly a shame that Miles isn't here for this subject, because I feel like this would just be an entire segment of us listening to him sip tea, because we're going to talk about the man, Richie Incognito, the man that Vikings Twitter was clamoring for. When the news broke that he was unretiring and being released from the Buffalo Bills. And then, well, the story took a turn, and it's now it's now more of a sad story than a funny story. When the news initially broke, you're like, oh, that's kind of funny. But now that you get all the additional details about like voices and the government and all that, you're like, oh, wow, this guy might actually be someone who maybe needs some help. But even with all of that going on, I still see people saying we should sign Richie Incognito. So, JR, what are your thoughts? I guess before we even talk about Richie Incognito and all the rest of it, is he a scheme fit for what the Vikings even want to do?
Yeah, he is. And it's a mixture. John DeFilippo runs a mixture of man and zone concepts. Richie Incognito obviously is more comfortable in the zone scheme. That's what he's ran in Buffalo and a host of other teams that he has played for. He has some experience with Tony Sparano. They were together with the Dolphins in 2010 and 2011, I believe it was. So he has some experience, and he has developed a relationship with Tony Sparano when he was the head coach down there. So he does have a connection with the Vikings. Now, as far as them signing Richie Incognito, I wasn't really a fan of it when his name came up prior to these TMZ reports about him throwing a dumbbell at a guy at the gym. Just because he's just a ticking time bomb, that's what I like to call it, and he's just a locker room cancer. We've all seen the bullying stuff and a host of other things that he has been a part of, and yes, the Vikings have a strong locker room, but that guy is just an incident or an accident waiting to happen in the locker room, and I just wouldn't be willing to bring that type of a toxic personality within what the Vikings have already built.
Okay. All right. Let's go the other way, because, you know, there was another player, and anytime a player, I think these are the rules, anytime a player whose name you've ever heard of before is released, that player should obviously be signed by your team immediately. In this case, we had an opportunity to reunite the Kendricks brothers. Michael Kendricks, released by the Eagles, still a decent player. His brother, Eric, just got a bunch of money from us. Eric's running mate, coincidentally, which we'll get into in a little bit, might be in a bit of a contract standoff with the team. Maybe his brother can come in, offer, you know, some discounted services, help the team out of this jam. Maybe they do something different with Barr. I don't know. Yinka, what are your thoughts? Michael Kendricks, is he a fit? Based on the limited resources the Vikings have left and the things they need to do, is he a player, or is that a position that you would invest resources in to bring him in to help bolster the roster?
Well, yeah, he's definitely a fit, and he's definitely still a really good player. If anything, the Vikings need to consider bringing him in. I know that you're not bringing him in to be a guy that you wouldn't go to him and just be like, hey, Michael Kendricks, you know how you've kind of been mostly a role player for the last couple of years, and you haven't really made very much money. Can you come here and be sort of a role player and be a rotational guy too? It's like, no, you're going to bring this guy in, and it's going to give you Anthony Barr leverage. And it's going to, because Barr does have a little bit of leverage right now because he is so integral to what the Vikings do on defense. But at the same guy, if you can just fill that position with a guy like Michael Kendricks, well, that leaves Barr in a position where maybe he does have to take a little bit less money, or he just goes tries, he goes sees what the market is on him. So the Vikings really should consider it, because, I mean, apparently if you are related to someone on the same team, you have hashtag chemistry. I think that's how that, we're assuming that's how that works, because we assume that two players who play together in college automatically will have chemistry, even if it's been years removed, but definitely family members, there's chemistry there. So if for nothing else, you really only have to get one Kendricks jersey. So yeah, let's do it.
I'm with it. I'm with it. JR, I guess Kendricks, does that work for you? Is that a position you'd invest in?
For the Vikings standpoint, I mean, it's worth reaching out to him, but for depth purposes, but if he has a high asking price as far as a financially, I just don't see where he would fit in, just because they play mostly two linebackers and that third linebacker really isn't a necessity. And they already have Ben Gideon at that spot, who arguably is a better athlete than what Kendricks is. Now, he's not as good in coverage or anything like that. Kendricks, his best, when he's at his best, he's blitzing. But if you're asking him to stay inside of the box and play the run and defend the run, that's just not his game. He's best when he's kept clean. He has to be kept clean because he's just not very good at shedding blockers. And that was one of the biggest reasons why the Eagles were so quick to get rid of him, because all they could do with him was use him as a blitzer or rushing the passer. So from his standpoint, it doesn't make sense either, because he would have a limited role in Minnesota when there's teams like the Steelers and the Colts and many other teams where he could start right away. So the Vikings definitely would be near the bottom of my list, unless he really wants to play with his brother.
And you know, Luke Brown brought up a point. We talked about this on the Pocket Protectors about just not knowing if your linebacker, if Barr is still there, and we already have Eric Kendricks, is it really worth it to spend money on a position that's going to be on the field so little? Because I mean, Ben Gideon played fewer snaps than our backup nickel last season.
Yeah, and that's why I say it really doesn't make sense to me unless it's a depth type of signing, because he's not going to play a lot. We all know Barr and Kendricks are going to have most of the snaps, and they do their best to keep Gideon off the field unless teams stay in base with double tight end sets or some type of 11 personnel. So there just really isn't a need for him to sign here, in my opinion. It just doesn't make sense from his standpoint, but the only reason I see where it does make sense for depth purposes.
Okay. Next up, because we're going to talk about all the contentious things on this episode. This one episode is going to be the one we talk about all the things that make people upset. And so the next question I have for you, because this, again, this is another one, and there seems to be a lot of things going on, which is crazy. We're on, like, I think day three of OTAs, but there's a lot of stuff, a lot of stories out there that really, we're getting passions inflamed, we'll say, on the timeline and in and around kind of the Vikings blogosphere. And so this is something that comes up every year, and it's something that fans get really passionate about every year. It's when you do have these voluntary practices, OTAs, organized team activities where the players are out there, and some guys just don't come. So, you know, with New England, we got Tom Brady not coming. Obviously, with the Vikings, as it pertains to us, we have Anthony Barr, where it became kind of a public thing where, you know, Zim and Spielman both came out and said what they had to say about it. And so there's been speculation. Does that mean that Barr is next up to get paid? Does it mean things are going poorly with his contract negotiations? But with all those things aside, I guess, JR, what are your thoughts on these players who maybe are set to make a lot of money next year, but don't really have any long-term security? Kind of not necessarily even holding out because it's voluntary, but just not choosing to show up for some of these team building sort of activities early in the offseason to, I guess maybe we'll say, protect themselves, avoid injury, et cetera, et cetera. Or do you think they should be there with their teammates? And does this make them selfish?
No, it doesn't make them selfish at all. They're just looking out for themselves and their financial situation, which is their obligation to do. And it isn't like the Vikings have a new system defensively with Mike Zimmer or a new coach or anything like that. So Anthony Barr really isn't going to miss anything at all. And that's just my opinion about the situation, especially with the injuries that's already happened around the league. And even a couple linebackers has already happened to. And he probably seen that or heard about that and said, man, there's no point in me risking being in something that's voluntary when I'm not even required to be here. And I could risk losing my first big contract over something that's voluntary. It's just not worth it. And I know a lot of people are saying, just be quiet and show up because that's your obligation. But he also has the obligation not to show up since this is voluntary, meaning that he has the choice of being there. And if I was a star player on a one-year deal and I was entering a contract year with OTAs, I would never show up. There is just no point. It's too much to lose.
Yeah, I mean, all of that seems reasonable to me. I guess, Prince, what's your perspective on it? And I guess, can you understand things from both sides? Or are you pretty much just where JR's at with it in that? I know, generally speaking, we tend to align with the players and things like this, but I guess, can you see the other side of it and why, you know, fans or maybe we see even teammates or the organization might be annoyed by something of this sort?
No, I'm definitely with what JR said. If I'm about to get paid and paid, you know, quite a bit of money, there's no way that I'm showing up to, you know, potentially, because again, we just watched a couple of years ago Teddy Bridgewater, like his career was derailed by this injury, and it was so catastrophic, it was so out of the blue, where any player seeing that would just be like, you know what, as you know, I will show up for training camp, I'll be there for practices and games throughout the season, that's what I'm there for, I'm going to take that super seriously. But at the same time, the players owe it to themselves because this is their livelihood. This is how they feed their families. This is how they give back to their communities, how they do everything else. Why would they not give themselves the most opportunity to do that? You know, they're their own self-owned business, right? And it would be a bad business decision to open themselves to greater risk to potentially expand their business to be even more profitable than it is, you know, prior to anything else. So yeah, I'm definitely with JR in which I don't think any player, I don't think it's a quote unquote a show of good faith to just show up and just be a body, right? Like these players, like they're people as well too. And I think given the circumstances, I don't think anyone else would behave this way at their own place of employment. So I don't expect these players to be anything different.
Okay, and I guess I feel like I have both your answers already, but just rapid fire, give it to me real quick. JR, is it a big deal that Anthony Barr isn't there?
No, not at all. It isn't like he's missing anything. I'm sure Zimmer has some adjustments and some inventory that he's looked over as the season went on and adjustments that they have made going into next season, but it's nothing that he can't learn in training camp that he would learn at OTA. So I don't see the big deal of him missing these voluntary workouts, and I just think people are trying to make a big deal out of nothing.
Awesome. Saxy Prince, what are your thoughts?
If Anthony Barr plays poorly this season, I can guarantee you it wasn't because he missed the first week of OTAs. Like what JR said, he basically knows the system in and out at this point. You know, at best, he's probably going to learn a wrinkle or two, or, you know, just some, you know, just more technical stuff that he can work with, but no, it's not a big deal. It shouldn't be ever a big deal until training camp starts.
Awesome. Well, I'm aligned with you guys on this one. It's until the highlight videos that they start putting out actually have them wearing like actual pads and stuff, it doesn't really matter. Like, especially not for the veterans. For the young guys, of course. The guys trying to make the team, of course. But for, you know, a veteran starter, the guy wearing the dot, he knows the defense at this point. And I really wish that when things like this popped off, like you wouldn't have the usual suspects immediately running to their microphones and their platforms to smear the player, because it feels unnecessary this early in the game to have folks out there talking about Anthony Barr being lazy and stuff like that because he's not there for OTAs. Because that, yeah, just unnecessary. But anywho, let's move it along. And JR, I guess I'm passing it over to you and putting myself in the hot seat here, because I really have no idea what is about to happen or what's going on. But you, I guess, have got a new segment for us here called, what is it, the two-minute drill? Yeah, so I'll leave it to you. I guess you let us know what's about to happen, because I have no idea.
Yeah, so it's something I'm excited about. Something, you know, I came up with just randomly because we need some things to talk about this off season. And, you know, we always throw everybody for a loop at the end of the show. We usually have a this or that question. So I wanted to mix it up a little bit, put my man Jason on the spot here. So it's called the 2-minute drill. Everyone knows that the 2-minute drill is a tight, intense type of situation. So we want to simulate that here. All that's going to happen is you got 2 minutes to answer 10 random questions. Just going to be off the wall, random questions. And you have to say the first thing that comes to your mind or that makes sense. And you don't have to state the reason why unless you want to, but you have to stay within those 2 minutes. And Jason, whenever you go in and edit the show, you have to make sure you put the little buzzer at the end. And Prince is the referee.
Okay.
He determines if you scored or not. So we're down 5 points, 2 minutes left. We need a touchdown to win the game. Let me know when you're ready.
I'm born ready. Let's get
So just to clarify, my role is what exactly?
You just the referee. And whenever we get done, just determine if we scored, if it's good, or, you know, if it's over.
Are you the Sandman, Prince? You can come in and pull me off the stage.
Yeah, man, I'll play you that little music that's supposed to come off. swag surfing when that starts coming off.
You know I got that swag.
That's swag.
All right, JR, let's do this thing.
Well, good. You got the play. You ready to go?
Okay, let's do it. Yeah.
All right. So here we go. First question: best appetizer at a restaurant?
Wings, yo.
Eli Manning or Blake Bortles?
Oh my God.
Oh Lord.
Oh, Blake Bortles.
Boxers or briefs?
Boxer briefs.
Boxers or briefs.
Flag on the play. You need to pick one.
The correct answer is boxer briefs. You combined the best of both worlds.
Flag, pick one.
If I have to choose, then I'm going boxers. But, I mean, boxer briefs is the right answer.
All right. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No. I don't know what it is, but it's not a sandwich.
Mm. Would you rather be a legendary coach or a legendary player?
Legendary player.
If you could have dinner with one athlete, dead or alive, who would it be?
Muhammad Ali.
Who wins in a 3-point shootout, Miles or Yinka?
I'm going with Miles. He was a college athlete.
I can already smell the goal line stop.
Jason, the one thing. Go ahead. I'll say it afterwards.
See the refs cheating. They wasting time.
Go ahead.
You spotting the ball late. Come on, Prince. Rihanna or Nia Long?
Oh my goodness, man. Rihanna.
All right,
that hurts, man.
Last two questions. One round with Mike Tyson or meeting Sean Taylor in the hole for 4 downs straight?
Oof. 4 downs.
Run out of time.
I think I'm gonna go with Sean Taylor.
One play to win the game: Michael Jordan or Tom Brady? Who you taking?
What sport they playing? one play. I'm gonna go with Michael Jordan because, you know, all our memories of him in those big games were him coming through, and Tom Brady did drop that pass in the last one. So we'll go with Mike.
There it is. Time's up.
Okay, first of all, if y'all know anything about me, you would know that the one thing you can't do when you play me one-on-one or even, you know, five-on-five, whatever the case is let me shoot. If you let me shoot, game's over. It's a done deal. I mean, granted, if I'm off, then, you know, it won't be a done deal. But don't let me shoot. How you gonna pick Miles over me?
I mean,
my dark skin side is so offended right now.
But I mean, look at the best shooters in the game right now. You got Klay Thompson. You got Steph Curry. I mean, they look like Miles' cousins.
They do.
That is true.
Yeah.
It makes a good point.
I ain't got something to say against that, but
I'm sorry, Prince. Sorry.
Okay, we got to set up this three point contest between me and Miles.
We got to play
All Star Weekend, man. We have to have like a CTP All Star Weekend 3-point contest.
We
got to see the film.
We'll do pros versus Joe style competition. Have y'all do all kinds of stuff. We do some basketball. Have y'all do some football. Prince, can you play soccer? I mean,
yeah, I used to play.
People are Africans, but I feel like you're supposed to.
It's a natural thing that you. I mean, I'm not like you know, World Cup good or anything like that. But
I mean, we guessed that one. You're not World Cup good. I'm glad you clarified that.
I'm just saying, it's ingrained into the African blood and whatnot. Like. If you that dude at, you know, when you do the like little picnic, the African picnic during the summer, whatever the case is, and you can't play, you're going to be ostracized from so many parties. Oh, my goodness.
If we were to give you a ball right now, how many times could you juggle the ball before it hit the ground?
Oh, a lot. Like, that's probably one of the skills that I'm best at.
Okay, so that we might have to put out some over-under bets on the CTP account. And get you to do some juggling for the people. one take, no editing, no video tricks.
See, the funny thing is y'all only ever put athletic feats on me. We need to get y'all doing some, putting yourself on the film, doing some stuff.
Hey man, I sent y'all the really boring video of me in my fight 2 months, 6 weeks after starting BJJ.
Oh, dude got bodied. Oh my goodness.
But I feel like we wrap things up here. 2-minute drill was actually fun, so we're gonna have to get some of these questions together for Saxy Prince and
we're at Miles when he gets his internet back.
We're gonna hit Miles on the rotary phone and get him back.
We'll put him on the clock next week.
Well, it's good. It's good that it's only 2 minutes because that's as long as his internet connection will last. So.
The light skin slander has just been fierce since Miles has been gone. You know, we need the man back in here to defend himself. But all right, that's the show. It was a fun one. If you do have any questions, comments, concerns, send them our way. If you're angry, though, holler at Saxy Prince. As we said at the beginning, my name is Jason Brown. I'm the host. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. This has been the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. And we will talk to you soon. Have a good one.